All right. So the thing is that we are gathered again in our Father's house. And I really want you to stop and think about it. You know, as imperfect as we all are and how things don't always go according to plan, the God who we are here to worship today is God. And you know, I mean, he's like the God of creation, the one over everything, the one who everything that the scientists are discovering and the large and the small, he made all of that and holds it all together every day. And this is the God who loves you individually and individually brought you into his kingdom through this gift of baptism and made you his child. And now he welcomes you into this house right now today as his perfect beloved child. Now, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. And so here's the thing, is that we are now here. And as we are here, let us remember the day he made us his own. And let us remember the identity we have in him as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made it possible for us to stand in your presence. And Lord, we pray that you would come and work among us again today. Lord, as much as we are your perfect people, we are also people who are struggling with sin, as you know. And Lord, we need your strength. We need you to hold us up. We need you to help us. We need you to forgive us. We need you to sustain us, Lord, so that until the day that you take us to be with you forever, where there is no more sin. Lord, I pray that you would work among us today, work through your word, work through the work of your Spirit, and help us, Lord, to see you, the true God, as you truly are. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now let us come before our God and confess our sin, because we are not perfect, but he is, and he has righteousness for us. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us praise this amazing God that we have.
Revealing your majesty from the colors of foam. Thank you. morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and this morning it's my privilege to read the first scripture reading to you. From Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verses 13 to 28. So, if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will not yield nor produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully obey all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. And Pastor Bob will come and read this scripture reading for us.
Thank you so much, Brian. Scripture reading for today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the accumulation of the ages has come. So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. All right, children, it's now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come up at this time, I believe Mrs. Armbruster has the children's message for you this morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I've got some children and some snakes or animals with me this morning. So how are you guys doing? Good. So I would like you to help me with a little activity this morning. Can you do that? Okay, but first I need to check. Raise your hand if you know what a square looks like. Square's good. Circles? No circles. Triangles? Yes. All right. I also need to know this. How many of you know the color blue? Do you know what blue looks like? How about red? Yellow? Green? All right. You guys are great. So you need to be able to see this. I don't know. Maybe I should stand up. Will you put your eyes here? And I want you to read what these are. So this is blue circle.
Yellow triangle. Green square. Green triangle. Red circle. Blue circle. Red square. Blue upside down triangle.
Blue triangle and
yellow triangle.
All right. Do you got it? Do you understand that? All right. Here we go. Now, I want you to tell me what those shapes and colors were in order, starting with the first one. What was the first one?
A blue circle.
Yes. All right. Second one?
Yellow triangle.
Yellow triangle. Third one?
Green square.
Green square. Fourth one?
Green triangle.
Green triangle. Fifth one?
Red circle.
Was a red circle. Next one?
Blue circle.
Blue circle. Next one?
Upside down blue triangle.
No.
Square. Upside down yellow triangle.
No. Oh. So you read it, and you understood it. Did you remember it?
Green square.
No. Did you remember it?
Yellow square.
Not all of them. What could we do to remember it better? Oh, you want to look at it again? All right. So let's look at it again. Can you read that for me? All right. Number one?
Blue circle.
Number two?
Red circle.
No. Yellow triangle.
Yellow triangle. Number three?
Red square?
Red circle. Yellow circle.
It's something.
Green square.
It's actually a green square. So let me sit down for a minute because there's a reason why we did this. And here's what I think. I think that sometimes we do that with the Bible. We read it, and we understand it, and then we just put it away. I already did that. I don't need to look at it again. So we read it, we understand it,
and we
don't always remember everything. You were so smart. Now, why is that important, because that we read it and understand it and remember it? Because
that's God's word.
Here's something that might happen. Anybody ever mean to you? Has anybody ever mean to you? So if we think about, we did this a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, we think about Joseph. Joseph's brothers were really mean to him, really mean. Was God with Joseph even when his brothers were mean?
Yes.
Did God help Joseph work through that problem? So if I remember that, it can remind me God's going to help me when people are mean to me. How about this one? Scared. Anybody ever been scared?
Not really.
I was scared.
Not really. You're lucky. I know, even that can be scary. And last week, we talked about Moses And things were kind of scary for Moses and his mom because people were trying to hurt the babies. And they were scared. But Moses' mom, she took them. She put them in a basket. Where'd she put him? Do you remember?
In the water.
In the water. Was God with Moses?
Yeah.
Did God help him get through that? So that would be good to remember. And here's one. Sometimes I say things that are not very nice to other people, and I feel really bad. Sometimes I don't do the things I'm supposed to do, and I feel bad. But you know what I remember? God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And when he did, he forgave my sins. And then he rose from the dead so that I can live in heaven forever. And he gave me the Holy Spirit. So the next time that thing happens, I can maybe make a better choice than I did the first time. And the Bible reading actually talks about it, said, you should have God's word all the time. You should have it on your forehead. You should write it on your hand. You should put it on your door. You should put it on your gate. You should teach it to your children.
You
and most importantly, you should have it in your
heart.
So when you leave today, I have something that I'm going to give to you. And it's actually a heart that you can wear. And it has a Bible verse that I bet you already have in your heart. Do you guys know John 3:16? Can you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So, well, when you go, I'm not going to just give you one. I'm going to give you three. So you have one, and you can have two friends that you can give one to as well. Because they should have it in their heart as well. Of course you can. Can we pray first?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Can you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for giving me your word.
Help me to read it.
Understand it.
And remember it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Perfect. And Miss Lauren is going to help me.
Oh, my, you got a lot.
I have a lot.
Here, I can help.
All right. And as they finish handing out the little hearts, we have the cross in the center aisle. Anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade that would like to, with their parents' permission, would like to go to little worship, you can gather there at this time. And the rest of us, let us open up God's word here. Where did I leave my book? Good deal. Thank you, Debbie. All right. Well, the children of Israel were having a very stressful day. It seemed like they were going the wrong way. It seemed like they had taken a terrible wrong turn. But the most perplexing thing is it seemed like there was just no mistaking that they were following God, and it seemed like God was leading them wrong. The day had begun like no other day in their life had or ever would begin. They went to bed the night before, but they didn't actually get to go to bed. They instead were standing around a table with their travel clothes on, eating a lamb, gathered together with other families so that the entire lamb could be consumed. They'd put blood on the doorposts of their house, and it all seemed very unusual. But then God sent the angel of death to the Egyptians, and overnight, the firstborn in every Egyptian home was killed. When people began to wake up the next morning, you can imagine the cry that went out in Egypt. I mean, the depth of grief and the just amazing misery of the people as they realized their children were dead. And they'd seen the other nine plagues. They knew what this was about. There's no way that this was not common knowledge in the nation of Egypt, that it was the God of these Hebrews that was at war with Egypt. And that these Hebrew people wanted to go out into the wilderness. And finally, the Egyptians had had it. And they were, as the people got up in the morning, the Egyptian neighbors were shoving them out of town. Go, get out, go. And the people of God, God's people were packed, and they had their travel clothes on. They were ready for the journey, except they hadn't baked their bread, but they just packed the dough and carried it out on their backs. And God had told them ahead of time that the Egyptians are going to be so eager to get you out of town that they will give you anything. So ask them for their valuables. And the Israelite people did, and they plundered the Egyptians, left with their gold and their silver and their precious things. And God appeared to the children of Israel as this pillar of smoke, this cloud. And he led the children of Israel. And things seemed to be going very well. But then God made a wrong turn. You see, here's the thing. The right way to leave Egypt and to head up toward Canaan is to take the road. That would be the right way. But God didn't take them toward the road. He took them toward the sea, into the desert where there was no way out. And the Egyptians looked at the children of Israel and said, they're lost out there. I mean, we told you these Hebrew slaves couldn't handle life on their own. They need taskmasters. They need somebody over them. You know what? Let's go save them. We're going to go out and collect them back in again, because obviously these people are just, they have no idea what's going on. And so Pharaoh, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he called for his chariot, and the whole army went out with him, and they went after the children of Israel to round them up and bring them back into bondage. And the people of Israel freaked out. And here was what was happening. In front of them, they had the presence of God. Behind them, they had an army that wanted to kill them, or at least enslave them. The children of Israel at this point had a choice. Which way are we going to look? Are we going to look to God, or are we going to look to the problems that are facing us? And what did they do? They turned to Moses and they said, Moses, weren't there enough tombs in Egypt for us to die there? Did you really have to bring us out into the wilderness to be killed? And Moses looked at the people and he said, listen, be still. In other words, be quiet. A nice way of saying, shut up. Be still and you will see the deliverance of our God. He will fight for you. All you have to do is be still. And then he turned to Moses, and I love what he said to Moses. He says, why do you cry out to me? In other words, Moses, why are you yelling? Settle down. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out, and I want you to hold your staff over the Red Sea, and I will deliver the people, and everybody will know that I am God. And Moses did it. He went out, and okay, staff, see. He had no idea. I mean, what's he know, right? So and all of a sudden, God acts. And the first thing God does is he moved his presence from before the children of Israel to behind them, so that the presence of God stood between the Egyptian army and the people of God. God literally had their back. And it was darkness on the side of the Egyptians so they couldn't move or see their way. And it was light on the side of the children of Israel so that they could. And then God opened the sea with a strong wind. They passed through with walls of water on both sides and dry ground in the middle. And the entire time this almost 1.5 million people of Israel walked through this channel in the sea to safety, God himself, that presence of God, stood behind them and protected them from the Egyptian army. And when the final person crossed over, the Egyptian army was released and they started coming. And they were coming with all that frustration. I mean, fighting men, they're aggressive and they want to win and they just have a lot of motivation and they have a mission and they want to accomplish it. And there was this thing that was in their way. And when the thing went away, they were on mission again and they plowed into that sea. And you figured, I guess if the children of Israel could do it, they could do it. You know, I mean, I'm no coward. I'm going in. And as they go in, and I love this, it says, God looked down from the cloud and he saw the Egyptian army and he confused them. And they started being in disarray and the chariot wheels started falling off and things started going wrong for them and they were getting bound up and stuck. And if you ever, you know, if you're in a narrow trench and all of a sudden all the stuff in front of you falls apart, the people behind can't pass and it just became a problem. And so the Egyptian army was stuck. And then God told Moses, hold out your staff again. And he closed the sea over the Egyptian army. God defeated the entire Egyptian army, and he didn't even break a sweat. And the children of Israel, this mob of slaves, witnessed for themselves the salvation of their God. There was no other way to interpret what they had just experienced. God moved, and he did it incredibly powerfully. And today's text tells us that these people, between the cloud and the water, were baptized into Moses and baptized into the people of God. Here's what that means. They left Egypt, slaves. They emerged from the sea, the people of God. The people that God had chosen, the people that God had rescued, the people that God made a people after him. They were something completely different. They were now a nation. A nation under Moses, but more importantly, a nation under God. And why does this matter to us today? Because we have experienced that same salvation, only more. Because we also have been baptized, and in our baptism, God has worked out a salvation for you. We came into this world a mess, already as an infant sinful. And as we grew, things did not get better, right? I mean, the thing is, I love it because, you know, whenever we start talking about guilt and sin, the young people don't notice it so much because they haven't had quite as much time to discover their sin or to commit really big ones. But us older people, we understand. We've been around long enough to really mess up. And so the thing is, you know, I mean, it's we how badly do we need this salvation? I mean, if it weren't for what Jesus did, if it weren't for this baptism, if it weren't for the salvation of our God, we would be a serious mess. I mean, there would be no hope. It would be we would be sinful. And the only answer to sin is death, and not lowercase death like at the end of life, but like uppercase death, which means eternal death in hell, suffering forever kind of death. But our God loved us too much to leave us there, and he brought us out of that. He suffered for us. He took the punishment in our place. And by faith, we receive that gift of salvation through baptism. God gives us that faith and that forgiveness. It is an incredible thing that our God has done for us, and every single one of us has witnessed the salvation of our God. And just like the children of Israel who are standing on the far side of the Red Sea had a bit of a celebration that day, as you can imagine, that they were finally free. They were finally away from their taskmasters. They finally had the promise of their own place, of the promised land where they would be able to live, where they would be able to plant their own crops and raise their own animals and keep the things that they made. I mean, they were so hopeful for the future, and we also have that hope, because just like they have the promised land, don't we? I mean, our promised land is even a little bit better. I mean, the children of Israel had to go to a promised land, fight for it, and then farm it. When we go to our promised land, it is a place where Jesus has already gone to prepare mansions for us, where we get to live in glory with him forever. It's kind of better. You know, I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's so funny, you know, we work all of our life thinking about retirement. Okay, that's like small, you know, retirement. The retirement that I'm looking forward to is the retirement in the presence of God forever. And we don't want to lose sight of this. This salvation that we have received from God is profound, and now the text has a warning. It says, guys, you have it. It's in your hand, the salvation of our God. You have received it. You are out of Egypt. You're heading to the promised land. Things are the way they ought to be. Now be careful. Be on guard. Watch. Here's the thing. In the army, the thing that every general wants more than anything else is a guard that keeps focus, because it's the hardest thing to do. How long can you be diligent? How long can you stay alert? How long can you watch carefully? Can you do it for an hour? Can you do it for 12 hours? Can you do it for months? Because here's what happens, is that does anything happen the first day? Well, nothing, and so you become a little bit lazy. You don't expect anybody to come over the hill, so you stop watching so diligently. So that when the army finally comes, who's there to see them and call the alarm? And the same thing can happen to us in our faith. That if we aren't watching, things can go terribly wrong. And the question I have for you is, children of Israel, on the good side of the Red Sea, just watch the Egyptian army get wiped out. How long until they started whining? Anybody know? 3 days. You know what they did? You know, I mean, you think they'd learn the lesson, right? Egyptian army or follow God? I guess follow God, right? That would make sense. Hungry or follow God? What do you think? Good thing we're not like that. I mean, it's a good thing that we don't get bogged down by the challenges that face us, right? I mean, it would be really, really tragic if we didn't live out, enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ, and let the little problems of the world be dealt with by God, and stop worrying about all the little stuff, and just focus on the big picture that we are divine royalty, that we are the children of the Almighty God, the ones that he loves, the ones that he promises to walk with all of our days. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, right? But no, we do all the time get distracted, don't we? And so he has some very specific things to worry about. He says, do not get hung up on idolatry. as some of them did. Well, what's that about? Well, while Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and the plans to the tabernacle and the altar and all the stuff for the temple, the children of Israel got bored. And they said, you know, who knows if Moses is even going to come back? You know what we need? We need a God. You need what? You need a God. You have a God. No, we need a God we can see. So everybody, and Joshua goes along with this. Everybody, bring me your gold. I'll make something for you. And he fashions a golden calf, and the children of Israel decide to have a party and worship the golden calf. Now there's intelligence. What did they just see? They saw God miraculously pull them out of Egypt. And what do they need? I need something I can see. Okay? God didn't like that. I mean, at all. God tells us in those Ten Commandments that Moses was still getting in the close of the commandments, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I don't allow for other gods. I don't share my people with anybody. I am God, no other. And we got to remember that when we start getting distracted from God, remember what the children of Israel did, right? Problem, God. What am I going to look at? If we choose the problem, we're not choosing God, which necessarily means we're choosing a different thing as God. Now, it's stupid because that thing isn't God, right? I mean, it's like this. Okay, how about this? What if we had like a virus that like shut down the whole economy? I know, just go with me on this. It's insane, but we'll just go with me on this. And what if a whole bunch of people were worried about the future and how we were going to be provided for and stuff? And you know what they did? They turned to God and they prayed and they trusted that God would save them. Or they turned to the government and demanded that the government do something to save them. You know what I wish we'd have done? But you know what we did? And when we look to anything other than God for our salvation, for the one who is going to care for us and protect us and to keep us, we're making that other thing a God. It becomes our ultimate source of security. You know, what if we have a bunch of people who don't know who they are? And because they don't know who they are, they turn to popular culture for identity. They just need to know who they are. And so they go to popular culture. And does popular culture have identity for people? Oh, pick one. I mean, multiple if you want, right? There's just tons of identities out there. All kinds of things that are going to lead you into all kinds of trouble. But nevertheless, all kinds of identities out there. And you know what? I'm going to find my identity by looking to something other than God. What have I done? Whatever it is I pick, I make my God. What if you're a person going through life and you're just desperate for meaning? You know, you do things all the time. You have things. You're going through life and everything is going well, mostly, but you just don't have meaning. You don't have a purpose. You don't have the fulfillment that your heart is longing for. And so where are you going to go to find that meaning? There are activists everywhere. There are people who will fill in the blank. You will have meaning if you... But if you look to anything other than God for your meaning, you are setting up that thing as your God and it becomes an idol. The problem with all of those other things is there is no God but God. All of those other things are just human creations, every bit as much a human creation as that golden calf was that the Israelites made in the desert. And it will fail you. just as quickly. So here's the thing. How easy is it to slip into idolatry? I mean, how easy is it? I mean, it just seems to happen. We just go along with the crowd. We don't even think about it. And we worry about the things that we face in life, but where is our prayer life in all of it? Because the way that we keep from turning to other things is being disciplined and being in God's word and being in prayer to God, that our reflex when something goes wrong or when we don't have answers or when we need to direction and you know, what shall I do with this life that I have been given? What shall I do with all these resources? Where should we go first? We should be turning to the God who we're following. He's the one we look at. Don't look at all the other stuff. Look at him. Follow him. Trust him. Is he big enough to deal with that? If he's big enough to deal with that, do we need to be looking at that all the time, focusing on that, letting that stress us out and drag us down? Or do we look to God and follow his will, apply this, everything that God reveals to us, to that, deal with that in a responsible way, always with our eyes on him? We're in Lent right now. Can you tell? I mean, I'm getting personal. It's like mean. I'm poking at your sin. And if you're not feeling bad by now, you haven't been paying attention. I mean, because we all should be feeling bad by now. Because the thing is that all of us are guilty of all of this stuff. We always turn from God. We always look to other things first. We don't give God his due. We don't live with God being God always in our life. And when we do these things, we harm ourselves. Fathers, your job is to teach your children. Did you hear the verse that was read earlier? You know, the first reading today that Brian read was the verse that came immediately after the story I just told you about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Okay? And what God said is, he said this. He goes, look, things are going to go one of two ways. Either you're going to follow after me and things are going to work out, or you're going to abandon me and things are going to fall. You're going to fall on your face. That's how it works. And the children of Israel immediately fell away. But the thing is God said this. He said this. He says, if you want to maximize the chance that your children are going to stay faithful, here's what I need you to do. Talk about me. Talk about me all the time. Talk about me every day. Make sure the next generation hears of all the things that I have done. Make sure that if you don't do this, then the failure of your children is on you. Their blood is on your head. This is your job. Gentlemen, this is your job. You are the spiritual leader in the family. You are the one who is responsible before God for the spiritual development of your children, that you will teach them what is right. Now, will they sometimes still choose what is wrong? Yeah, but did you teach them what God has revealed to us? And here's the thing. I've been teaching in schools lately. It's sex ed time of year, and there's not a lot of male church workers out there that are willing to talk to middle schoolers. So I go out and do it. And so it's exciting, let me tell you. Anyway, but the thing is that I was so demoralized, and it was because I stood in the front of the room and I said, okay, I need everybody to turn to this Bible verse. And the kids had no idea what to do. That really bothers me. They didn't know how to look something up in the Bible, which tells me what? They're not in their Bible very much. You know, if they don't even know, like, you know, what order the books are in and how to look up something in the Bible, it's pretty much a dead giveaway. They don't spend enough time in the book to be able to do that stuff. And that concerns me. And, you know, the thing is that first my head goes to, blame the school, because it's not St. Mark's. It was a different school. Just, you know, St. Mark's, no, they're great. Anyway, but the thing is that the real trouble isn't the school, because the school's not the one that God has given the responsibility of raising those children. Who did God give the responsibility to? specifically dad. And because the most amazing gift God has given us is our wives, I mean, and I'm not joking, just as a little aside, I love patterns in the Bible. And you know, in the creation account, it says at the end of every day, after day three, it says, God saw that it was very good. Excellent. You guys know this. And then day four, it was God saw that it was very good. And then it said day five and day six and day seven, and it was all great, right? And then in chapter two, God put man in the garden, and he told him what to eat and what he had to do and all this stuff. And then he looked and he saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. The first thing in creation not good was that man was alone. And so what's the crowning touch that God put on all of creation? The thing that completed even the first person that he made was the second person. That God gave Adam this incredible gift of a helper suitable for him, made from his own flesh. And that helper takes on the same mission that the husband has, which is to raise these children in the faith. It's sort of like, you know, it's God gave the responsibility to the man and he said, but I know you. You're not going to be able to do this alone. So here's somebody who can help make it work. You understand how this is? It's really, truly. And so the thing is that God gives man, woman, and the two of you get to work together to bring these children to faith and to teach them the faith. This is profoundly important, and it only happens through intentional repetition. And if the kids are tired of it, who cares? They get tired of eating broccoli. We make them do that anyway, right? And the thing is that this is life. This is the stuff that will keep them alive forever. Make them sick of it. The Holy Spirit's stronger than their boredom. You know, it's going to be okay. But continue to teach them. It's the best thing we can do so that the next generation will continue to follow the God who really, truly can save them. If you're not constantly in Scripture with your children, with your spouse, get there. And I'm weak. I get it. I understand. I get busy. How far behind am I? Yeah, seven. Yeah, you're being generous, most likely. I get it. I understand how hard it can be in the busyness of life to stay disciplined and with things. But don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on these kids. Don't give up on your spouse. Stay in the game. Struggle. Do better because it's worth it. And I'm not saying do better because then God will love you more. That's not it. The only reason you get to do this is because you're already accepted by God. But do better because you need it and they need it. And if you're going to have the ability to bring peace and love to the people around you, to bring encouragement to the fellow Christians in the church, to be able to be the person who can speak Jesus into conversations with your neighbors or with the random stranger you meet in the street that's having a hard time, if you're going to be able to do that, you need to have this word in you or you won't be prepared. You just won't have it. The Spirit, my mom always loved to tell me, the Spirit will bring things to remembrance, but that means you got to learn it first. So let's learn it. And folks, it's Lent. I don't want you to leave this place and just forget everything we said. If you do that, last week's sermon, right? Hear the word of God, forget everything. It's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. Don't do that. If you're feeling bad because you haven't lived up to this stuff, bring it to God and get forgiven, number one, right? Number two, make a change. Start family devotions. You know, starting the day and ending the day in prayer with your wife. Start having a prayer with your child when they drop them off to school. When the child comes home from school upset, don't just comfort them, pray with them. Point them to the God who has the God of all comfort. Help them to grow in their faith. It's the best thing, the most important thing that God's given us to do. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you have done so much for us. You've given us freedom over sin, death, and the devil. You give us the promise of eternity with you, and you give us wonderful people to love in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take away all the boundaries between these things so that we can share this gift of love that you have shared with us and share it with everybody, Lord, all the people you've given us to love. To do it with gentleness and respect, but to do it. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage, that you give us words. And thank you, Lord, that we get to live in you, in your grace and your forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Let us then continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, we will continue with singing. Friends, let us stand and let us confess the faith that our God has revealed to us using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today and we thank you, Lord, that you have welcomed us here, that we get to stand here, Lord, in your presence, receiving your grace, standing in your love, knowing, Lord, that in spite of all that we have done, Lord, because what you have done is to redeem us, to pay the penalty of our sin, Lord, so that we don't have to. Lord, what an incredible miracle. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us, Lord, because we still need help. Every day, things happen, Lord, that we don't know what to do with. Things that happen to our bodies, things that happen to our children, our relationships, our neighbors, this world. Just so many things happen. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to be your people in those moments, that we would be able to keep our eyes on you, Lord, your promises, your revelation for us, so that we can respond to those situations, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to you and in a way that works because our eyes are on you, the one who knows how to handle all these situations, and we don't get bound down in the details of the problems. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, Lord. Be with us, Lord, if we're struggling with health. Lord, be with us if we're struggling with relationships. Be with us, Lord, if we're struggling with endurance and just being tired. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we raise our children, Lord, as we continue to encourage them well into adulthood, that you would help us, Lord, to speak your truth in love so that they can be encouraged. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with our teachers, Lord, all the teachers. It's just amazing how many people dedicate their lives to the future generation, Lord, and I pray that you would also give them encouragement, strength, opportunity, words to say so that they can be constant witnesses of you. We pray for the families and the children, Lord, that they would continue to be drawn ever closer to you, Lord, so that their relationship with you can be stronger and they can love you and trust you and trust in you and take comfort in you, Lord, every day, regardless of what is happening in this world, that we can live in victory in the middle of trouble because we know, Lord, what's the end of the story. All these things we bring before you, Lord, and we trust in you, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Stars, the land and the sea, Christ's life to wander on.
once again, we have witnessed the salvation of our God. He has come here, present in his body and blood, present by his spirit, working faith in us, encouraging us, strengthening us, forgiving our sins, everything that a growing Christian needs. And so as we are confident in the promise of our God, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And as we go our way today, and remember, we're not leaving here and forgetting everything we've heard, right? Otherwise, I'll preach twice as long next week. No, okay. But we're going to have to think on this, right? And face our sin and confess it to God and struggle to do better so that we can know God's love and our family can as well. As we go, don't go alone. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. My friends, we have a few announcements. First of all, we added a Lent service. Okay, here's the deal. It's getting to be a lot of Lent services, but that's okay. I'm here anyway, so it'll work out just fine. But the thing is that we're talking about, we realize that there's some older members of our congregation who don't like to drive at night. And so to make it possible for you to also take part in Lent services, we're going to have a Lent service at 11:30 during the day. So please come and be welcome. And then we'll also have the family, or the, Lent for early bedtimes is what it's called. And it's for the children, and they get a little craft and everything. That happens at 5:30. We eat at 6. And then at 7, we have the Lent service, the the regularly scheduled Lenten service. No, very good. Yeah. All right. With that, that's going to start this week. So come if you'd like. What am I doing? You have to talk? Okay, hang on. All right. Dine to Donate is going to be at Camilla's tomorrow. Is that correct? Good. That's what it says here. I'm just making sure. Excellent. Everybody should come. Sherry says so. So it is written, so it must be done. All right. And Spring Fling is coming up this Saturday. Two events, Moms and Sons and Daddy-Daughter Dance. So registration is required. So if you still want to get in on this, and I brought my nieces because I didn't have daughters. I wasn't equipped that way, so I came anyway. So just grab some children. People have extras. It's no problem. All right. Let's see here. And then also Easter flowers. You know how we decorate the front of the church with Easter flowers. We appreciate anybody who helps us purchase them. And then you can take them home with you. Or I'll take them. No, I'm kidding. The order form is at the Connection Center. Or you can also order online at stmarkseureka.org in the member section. All right. Oh, and I also encourage people, stay late for Bible study. We're going through the Catechism right now, which is hilarious because it is like the most basic teachings of the faith. And what we discover over and over again is how much it connects to all the issues that we're wrestling with right now today in the world. So it's kind of really fun to pick through it all. So stick around if you can, and we'll continue as we dig into God's stuff. God's blessings on your week. I can't forget about my girl.
So as you know, we just did the diaper drive for Eureka, and we did not hit our goal whatsoever. So we're extending it to not this weekend, but the next weekend, and it'll be the last one. We hit 5,000, and we're going for 20. So we're really short. So I'll set up a little table next week for you guys to put it out. So thank you.
Time changes next week. Yes. Dad, did you get that? Yeah, Dad's preaching next week, so I will be at the... Where am I going to be? I'll be someplace. I don't know. My wife will take me someplace. I'll know when I get there. But the thing is that my dad will be preaching next week. Brian's going to be leading worship, but it'll be God's word. It'll be God's place next week anyway, and I'll be listening online, so that'll work out. God's blessings on your week. I will see you guys in the back.